It's a book which I call it's the book that has the cure to all that ails you. If there's anything ailing you in your physical body, if there's anything ailing you in your emotional state, if there's any trial or something that you're going through right now, whether it's in your relationship with your spouse or with your children or your neighbors or your boss, or you have an infirmity in your body, you turn to the book of Psalms and you will find prayerful language that will help you get through these things, you know. And I said to the group in this morning, I asked them a question. I said, do you love God this morning? And I'm going to ask you the same question. Do you love God this morning? Well, that's some of you. Do you all love God this morning? Amen. Okay. Well, that's good news then, because all things are working together for your good. The scriptures say God causes all things to work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. But, you know, sometimes there are things that happen in our life. They don't seem good, do they? They seem hurtful. They seem painful. And you have to go through them. But God, through the Holy Spirit, will give you the grace to endure. And I guarantee you, and I can call on each and every person in here to give a testimony of how they went through something that when they were going through it, it seemed horrible. But when deliverance came, when the Lord did what He had to do, you can look back on that now and say, thank you, Lord, for not answering my prayer. Thank you, Lord, for giving the grace to endure, because You caused all things to work together for my good. Amen? Praise the Lord. So the book of Psalms is like going to the doctor. When you have an infirmity, you don't hesitate to go to the doctor. When something's troubling you spiritually or in your soul, go to the book of Psalms, because you're going to find the remedy, the medicine, the antidote for all that ails you. And in Psalm 34, I'm going to use this as a launching pad this morning. David, the great king and prophet of Israel, said in Psalm 34, verse 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man who trusts in Him." Hallelujah. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, you know, the scriptures are filled with comparisons. The scriptures are spiritual words. Jesus said, "My word is spirit." These words are spiritually discerned. And while there is truth in the natural, there is also spiritual truth in these that goes beyond our understanding. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. That's why you've been given the Holy Spirit, to understand, to give you an understanding of what these words mean. And tasting and seeing the Lord is a spiritual reality. Because let me ask you a question. How are you going to taste the Lord? Do you think He's talking about some natural thing? You know, like there's a whole doctrine in the Catholic Church where they believe that the communion supper, the communion feast that they celebrate in Mass every Sunday, that the priest actually changes the wafer into the body of Christ. They actually believe that that's the literal body of Christ. They call it a doctrine of transubstantiation. But that's not what God is talking about. And that's not what Jesus meant when He said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." That was a metaphor. Okay? God teaches us things using metaphors. I'm going to take you back to high school now. I'm going to take you back to your high school English class, or your high school literature class, or maybe junior high school, where the teacher taught you about similes and metaphors. You remember that? You remember what a simile and a metaphor was? A simile is a comparison between objects or between ideas using the words as or like. That's a simile. And Jesus did a lot of teaching using simile. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of God is like a man sowing seeds in a field. He taught using simile. He tried to use things that people could relate to in the natural to illustrate spiritual truths to them. Amen? And that's what this is here when the psalmist David is saying, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's a metaphor. It's a comparison. We're not going to actually physically taste the Lord, but there's a spiritual truth in that. And as in the natural, so in the spiritual. So let me ask you a question. How do you taste something? What do you do in order to taste something? What do you got to do? You got to eat it. You got to put it in your mouth. Okay? You put it in your mouth and you taste it. And you know, if you've ever had a cold, okay, when you have a cold, your nose is blocked up and you can't taste things all the time, right? So you need your sense of smell as much as you need your sense of taste in order to taste things. And your sense of smell is always a picture in Scripture of discernment, of discerning what's right and what's wrong. So you need to smell things out sometimes. If they don't smell right, you know you're not going to put it in your mouth. Okay? But tasting, you put things in your mouth, you chew them, and you taste them. Well, that's what God is asking us to do here. He's asking us to take Him and put Him in our mouth. And the reality of Him is His Word. Jesus was the Word made flesh. He said, unless you eat my flesh. He wasn't talking about His literal flesh. He was talking about the Word of God. So unless you take that Word and taste it, chew on it, okay, you have no life in you. And when you do taste it, when you do chew on it, you will find that God is good. Amen, church? Praise the Lord. So God wants you to take His Word. He wants you to spend time in His Word. He wants you to eat it. You know, there are scriptures that say as babes, as newborn babes, you should desire the sincere milk of the Word. The sincere milk of the Word. And you know, when you're a baby, that's what your food is. Amen? It's milk. When you have a newborn baby, the only thing that they can digest, the only thing that they could handle is milk. And when you're a new Christian, when you're a baby in the Lord, the only thing that you can digest is spiritual milk. And the scriptures say, desire the sincere milk of the Word. You need it. Milk is refreshing. Milk is nourishing. Milk is good. And that speaks of this, of your understanding of scriptures that brings you into a relationship with Christ. You need that milk in order to grow. But just like in the natural, so in the spiritual. There comes a time in the development of a child where he begins to need more than milk. He begins to take baby food, you know, like the soft baby food, right? And that, there's a reality of that as well in your spiritual life. God begins to open up the Word in a different way. And pretty soon, the baby will begin to teethe, and he will get teeth in his mouth, and you'll use those teeth to eat solid food. And just like in the natural, so in the spiritual. There's milk in the Scriptures, there's baby food in the Scriptures, and there's meat in the Scriptures. And if the writer of the book of Hebrews says that we need to have strong meat. Strong meat is only for those who are fully mature, who are ready to grow in the Lord, who are ready to really taste and see that the Lord is good. And you know what? Everything you eat is not sweet all the time. If you just live on sweets, you're going to get diabetes. And there are some people that have spiritual diabetes. But you need to eat a balanced diet. You need meat. You need vegetables. You need fruits. You need fiber. And the great thing, I was, in some regard, still a teacher, a science teacher. And I'm going to give you a science lesson now. I gave you an English lesson before about simile and metaphor. But think about this. Everything you eat in the natural, all the food you eat, everything you drink, turns into you. You know, you realize that? Everything you eat, your body takes, it breaks it down, it begins to digest it in your mouth, passes into your digestive system, all the nutrients are taken out, all the chemicals, this is biochemistry, and all of those chemicals your cells use to reproduce themselves. Remember in high school biology class, you learned about mitosis. Remember mitosis, cell division? Okay? Your body takes all those nutrients in order to reproduce itself, to make your physical person what it is. And everything that's the body doesn't need, everything that's no good, it passes out through the tubes. That's a miracle. That's a miraculous thing. Well, as in the natural, so in the spiritual. You need to take meat. You need to chew on it. You can't just swallow meat. You can't digest it. You got to chew it. You got to grind it up really good in your mouth. Then you swallow it, and you got to allow it to build you up. Without meat, meat is protein. You need protein to build you up. And you need spiritual meat in order to build you up. And God's going to give you some spiritual meat this morning, because some of you have been living on milk a little bit too long. You got to use those teeth in your mouth. You need to chew on some real spiritual meat so that you can grow in the knowledge of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you're sitting here this morning and you're saved, praise God. Praise the Lord. If you're sitting here and you've come to an understanding of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, praise the Lord. You were saved. But let me ask you a question. Are you being saved? Say, Brother Joe, I thought I had it all. I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. Yeah, you did. God bless you. I believe in God. Well, good. So do the devils, and they tremble at His name. But are you being saved? Are you walking with the Lord? God wants to challenge you this morning, wants to stir you up, because some of you are suffering from spiritual inertia. Another science lesson coming your way. You remember what inertia was? Anybody remember what inertia was? Inertia is the scientific property that an object in motion tends to stay in motion. An object at rest tends to stay at rest. Some of you are an object at rest. And you will tend to stay at rest until a force comes along to move you. And that force is the Holy Spirit. And that force is speaking through me this morning. Say hello to your force. Praise God. So God wants to move you this morning from the place of your rest. Listen, Jesus said something. You know, he taught a lot with metaphor and simile. And he said one thing that always really ministered to me, that when the Lord opened it up to me, it was like, wow, this is a wow. He said, take heed that the light that is in you is not darkness. Lord, take heed that the light that is in, how can light be darkness? How could light possibly be darkness? But the Lord showed me the example of the children of Israel, how when God delivered them out of Egypt in the wilderness, He led them by the cloud. He led them by the cloud during the day and a pillar of light at night. And they had to move with the cloud. The cloud didn't stay in one spot, and the cloud moved. And when the cloud moved, they had to follow the cloud, picturing the fact that God moves us in our journey of salvation from one place to another. So that things that were once light to you, when that cloud moves on, you got to move with the cloud. Because that once was light to you can become darkness. God is in motion, beloved, and He wants you to move with the cloud. Not move with the crowd, but move with the cloud. And He wants you to chew on His word. Taste and see. And some of you need to change your diet. It's time for you to change your diet and to get into the meat of the word. You know, Pastor every week goes out of his way to compose a message that will give you some understanding to help you lead you on your journey. I like the way he says salvation is a series of steps. And he always invites you. One of the steps you might want to do, maybe, he says, is memorize this verse. Well, you know what, friends? There's no maybe about it. You need to memorize that verse. If he tells you to memorize it, memorize it. It's for your benefit. You need to chew on that verse. You know what? He only gives you a couple of verses a week. And if you just simply take the time to go over those things, to read them, to pray about them. And listen, there's nothing special about Pastor Hawley. He'd be the first one to tell you that. There's nothing special about me or anyone's understanding. The same Spirit that dwells in Jesus Christ that rose Him from the dead dwells in you. And if you ask God to give you understanding, He will give it to you. He will give you understanding because you know what? Each one of us is different and has a different need in our life. And what I need is maybe not what you need, Ruth. Maybe you need something a little bit different. God will open it up, and He will give you understanding of the Scripture that you need for your walk at this time. He's here for you. He's ready. You love the Lord. He loves you with a love you can't even imagine. He just wants you to invite Him in. He wants to be your source of life, just like He was for Jesus. He wants to be your source of life. So taste the Lord. That's why I love, you know, in between the meetings, we have that fellowship time. I always sit with my sister Lily. She always has a scripture verse for me. She tastes the Word of God. She gives me some. She speaks to me in scripture verses. We ought to speak to each other in psalms and spiritual language. Brother Scott always has a scripture verse. He's tasted the Word of God. He shares the Word of God. The Word of God comes out of his mouth. That's what we need to do with each other. Our conversation ought to be the Word of God. And I'm talking about being some religious fanatics. I'm talking about being a living Word. You know, you look at Jesus, you love Jesus. You love Him so much because He was the fullness of the Godhead body. He was the living Word. Okay? And that's what He's asking us to do. He wants us to be the living Word in our time, to our generation, to the people, to the circle of people that we know. God is going to draw people to Him through you. As crazy as that sounds, as unbelievable as that sounds, that is the plan and purpose of, that's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, "Beloved, I travail in labor, in birth pangs, until Christ be formed in you." Not till Christ be formed in Jesus, till Christ be formed in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives and dwells with you. And all the Holy Spirit is saying to you this morning, He's inviting you. He's pleading with you. He's asking you, would you please let Christ grow in you? He's there. Allow Him. Listen, the Holy Spirit is a dove. He's gentle. He's not going to force you to do anything. He's the comforter. He's the counselor. And the Scriptures say that thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Are you willing this morning? Are you willing to let the Lord so work in you so that He that has begun a good work in you will bring it to maturity, will perform it to the day of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the soul that God is looking for. And you know what? You're going to experience God. You've experienced Him as your Savior. You've experienced Him as your deliverer. And that's typified in the three kings of Israel, in Saul, in David, and in Solomon. Those three kings of Israel are a great picture of how you relate to God your Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you first meet Him, He's like Saul. You know, and Saul was a natural man, and He delivered your natural man out of the world through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you met Him as David did. And the people loved David because he was their deliverer. He delivered them from all their enemies. And you begin to love God, not because only of Him taking it out in the world, but you realize the power of God and what God can do for you. And God delivers you. Look to God as your deliverer. But God is looking for a people who will know Him like Solomon did. And when you know God in Solomon, you don't love God for the things that He can do for you. You love God for who He is. For just who He is. And God seeketh such to worship Him. Amen. And look at this in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. So memorize these verses. Maybe you might want to memorize this verse, because this will help you. Make the Word of God, chew this Word, so that when you swallow it, when you digest it, it so becomes who you are. You will be the living Word. You will be the Word of God. Jesus said, and this verse that I'm about to read in Mark chapter 9, verse 1, this happened right after the fact. Remember a few months ago, Pastor did a series of meetings called Are You a Fan or a Follower? Remember that? Great series of teachings. Nobody remembers that. You remember that? Okay, good. It wasn't so long ago. Are you a fan or are you a follower? And remember, that was based on what Jesus said to his disciples. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Remember that? And we had a great series of meetings on that culminated in a call, and people answered that call. Pastor asked for people to come up if they wanted to make a commitment in their life, to recommit themselves. And you know what, people? We don't do that enough in this church. People, sometimes you need to humble yourself. You know, sometimes it's just between you and the Lord, and that's fine. But then there are some times when you come in a congregation like this, that's the reason you come here. You need to humble yourself and get up out of your seat and come forth and say, Lord, here I stand in the need of prayer. You need to have some courage and not be so proud all the time. Oh, I can work this out on my own. And that's the problem with some of God's people. They want to work everything out on their own. They don't understand. You can't do it on your own. That's why there is a body. That's why each one of us is a living stone. That's why we're here to edify one another and to help one another. And God has given us apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists to perfect the body of Christ, to help us. We have a deacon in the body. You know, sometimes you need a prayer. Sometimes you need a touch from the Lord. You need someone to lay their hand on you. Yeah, you need to confess things to God on your own, absolutely. But sometimes you need more. And you need to come forth and ask, humble yourself. Because the Lord is nigh thee, close to those who are of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Humble yourself, and He will lift you up. Hallelujah. That's a word for somebody in this body this morning. But in chapter 9, this happened right after Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And He said to them, assuredly, I say to you, verily, verily, I'm telling you the truth. You can put this in the bank. Assuredly, I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power. We read sometimes way too fast. That verse is chock full of truth. Assuredly, there's no doubt about it. This is the Lord Himself speaking. There's no doubt about it. I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present now. Not one day in the by and by. Not when I die and go to heaven. Not when I get raptured out of here. They will see the kingdom of God present in power. And church, that's a word to you this morning. There are some people sitting here today that will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God in power. And you know what? The scriptures also say that Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. And you know what? I asked the question to myself. I said, well, you know what? If He tasted death for every man, maybe I don't have to taste it then. Maybe I don't have to taste it until I see the kingdom of God present in all its power. And the kingdom of God is at hand. This is not a simile. This is not a metaphor. This is the word of God. This is truth. It's not one day in the by and by. It's here now for whosoever will. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And blessed is the man that trusts in that understanding. He that has an ear, let him hear. So we're going to taste and see that the Lord is good. We just tasted the Lord. Now let's see what He looks like. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 23. Luke. Is it 23 I want? No, not chapter 23. Luke chapter 24 and verse, I'm going to start reading from verse 13. Because this is the account, you know, recently, the last few weeks, the church world has been celebrating the Easter feast. You know, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're still kind of in that mode right now. This is an account in Luke's gospel of the day that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. We call it Easter Sunday or Resurrection Day. This is an account, this is a historical account of what happened some 2,000 years ago on Easter Sunday, if you will, on the day that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. And there's history in it. It's actually happened, I believe it, exactly the way it happened there. But you know what? In addition to the historical aspect of it, there is present truth in it. There is truth for today. There is the kingdom of God present in this message that if you open your eyes, if the Holy Spirit opens your eyes, you will see the kingdom of God present in power in this scripture today. And you will taste of life, the tree of life. And listen to this. Remember when God commanded Adam in the garden, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because in the day that you do that, you will surely die. Now, you know the story. Eve ate of the fruit of the tree. She gave it to Adam. He ate of the fruit of the tree. Did they die? No, they didn't die. Not right away. They lived hundreds of years after that. Death began to work in them until it finally came to its conclusion and they died. But there was a process of time. There was the process of sin so worked in them. The wages of sin is death. Well, here's the good news. If you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. But if you eat of the tree of life, you shall surely live. And if you begin to eat this word, life will begin to spring forth within you, real life, and you will not have to taste death any longer. This is the tree of life. My words are spirit and they are life, said the Lord. Hallelujah. So look at this account here in Luke. Because we've tasted the Lord, now we want to see. And if I had, I would call this message seeing the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 23, it's the account of two disciples. Reading from verse 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day being the day that Jesus was risen from the dead. They were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And I love the number 7 in Scripture. It always speaks of the Sabbath. It always speaks of that realm of rest, entering the rest of the Lord. On the 7th day, God rested. Okay? Which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of all the things which had happened. They were talking about everything that went down from Palm Sunday to Good Friday to Easter Sunday, which we call those events. They were talking about how Jesus had come into Jerusalem in power and glory, how they laid palms at his feet, how he went into the temple. They received him like a king. They said, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then 5 days later, they crucified him. Not only did they crucify him, they tortured him. They beat him. They spit him. They nailed him to a cross. He suffered and he died. And then they buried him in a tomb. And they were talking about all of these things. Verse 14, and they talked together of these things which had happened. And so it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. Did you hear that? Two of his disciples, men who had been with him since he had begun his ministry, some 3 years. Two men who had followed him intimately. Okay? They were walking to a village outside of Jerusalem. We don't know why they were going to Emmaus. And they were talking about everything that had happened. And it said that Jesus himself, this was not some apparition. This was not some spiritual angel or anything. This was Jesus himself in his body came up to them, started to walk with them, but they did not know him. Okay? There's a spiritual truth in this. They didn't recognize him. And he said to them, the Lord is such a kidder. Listen to what he said to them. What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? You know, what are you guys talking about? You know, here they are walking down the road. They're sad. They're devastated. They're absolutely devastated. They witnessed the beating, the crucifixion. And Jesus walks with them and says, what manner of conversation? What are you guys talking about? What are you so sad about? And that's just like today. You're walking around in your life. You're going from here to there. You're suffering and all kinds of. And you know what? Jesus is walking right with you. And he wants to enter into your conversation. He wants to be part of your conversation. He wants to flow out of your mouth. He wants his word to have expression from you. He says, what's this manner of conversation? Why are you so sad? What's going on here? And then they said to him, then one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known these things which happened there in these days? Are you the only stranger? They didn't even recognize him. And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who is going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Beloved, some of you are getting it already. These disciples were lamenting about what was going on or what took place in their life. Just like you, walking around in your life, lamenting about the things that God has put in your way. Obstacles, things that seem contrary to the word of God. And Jesus himself is drawing near to you and having a conversation with you, wanting to reveal things to you and tell you things that you didn't understand before. Because he told that to his disciples in John chapter 15. He says, look, I can't tell you everything right now. I have things to tell you. You can't even receive it. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach you of all things. And that's what's happening now. There are things that the Holy Spirit is revealing to you now that he couldn't reveal to you when you first met him as your personal Savior. When you first came to the altar and received Christ into your heart. There are things that the Holy Spirit has to reveal about the reality of the resurrected Christ that you need to know right now. Hallelujah. You were hoping, just like they were. They said, you know, we were hoping it was him that was going to redeem us. You know, you were hoping that you were going to just die and go to heaven. That you were just going to fly away in the rapture. And everything was going to be fine. That's what you were hoping for. But you know what? He's here now. You're waiting for him to come back and he's walking with you. He's a part of you. He lives and moves and has his being through you. And you don't recognize him. But look what happened. But we were hoping that it was him who was going to redeem Israel. And besides this, this is the third day since these things happened. You know what? There's a key in scriptures. Peter said, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is as a day. We are in the third 1,000-year day from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the third day from his death, burial, and resurrection. And the third day is prophetic. And things that are written in the scriptures are going to be fulfilled this day, if you can believe it, if you can receive it. Because listen, friends, think about this. Nothing in scripture ever goes down the way people thought it was going to go down. It never happens the way people thought it was going to happen. Jesus Christ didn't come the way they thought he was going to come. They thought he was going to be a great king, a great warrior like David, and deliver them from all their enemies. It didn't happen that way. And when Jesus was talking about John the Baptist, they said, Lord, didn't it say that Elijah must come first before the day of the Lord? He said, Elijah has come. And if you can receive it, John is Elijah. If you can receive it, John was Elijah. They were waiting for Elijah to come back. Jesus was telling him, look, John is the fulfillment of that. And there are people in the church world today, they're waiting for the kingdom of heaven to come. They're waiting for him to come in the sky. And it's not going to go down the way you thought it was going to go down. Because he's back. He's here. If you can receive it. If you can believe it. Hallelujah. He's here. He's back. He's alive in you. But just like the people back then, they were disappointed. They looked at him and said, this is the carpenter's son. This is not the Messiah. What are you talking about? That's the way it is today. The people look at you and they go, you're the body of Christ? We know what your life is like. There's nothing godly and spiritual and godly about you. Because flesh and blood does not reveal this to you, brethren. But the Holy Spirit, but your Father, which is in heaven. So look what happens. In verse 25, what does Jesus say? Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets had spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And look at this. Look at this. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Hallelujah. He took the scriptures. He opened up the books from Genesis to Malachi. He began to open up in the scriptures and show them all the things concerning himself. Friends, this book, it's all about him. It's all about Jesus Christ. And himself is a head and a body. He began to open to them all the things concerning his head and his body that were written in the law and in the prophets. Hallelujah. Then they drew near to a village. Look what happens. Then they were going on, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. He said, look, they were good. They were ready to stop. They said, look, maybe that's like you right now. You say, all right, Joe, that's enough. I've had enough. You know, we need to stop and rest here. But you know what? I'm going on. I'm going farther. And you know what? God is moving on in this day. And if you want him to stop, you're going to have to constrain him just like they did. Look at this. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Friends, you're going to have to constrain him in this day, because you know what? The plan and purpose of God is moving on. It's going to move on with you, or it's going to move on without you. And you know what? I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. I want to be the son that Jesus said, there are some standing here that will not taste death. And I have constrained him. I said, Lord, abide with me. Stay with me. Teach me these things. I don't see these things in the scriptures. I don't understand. I need you to open these things up to me. I need you, Lord. Teach me. Stay with me. And you need to say it. You need to say it. Ask him. They begged him. Stay with us. They constrained him. Don't go on. Stay with me, Lord. Hallelujah. And they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening and the day is far spent. And he went in. You give God an in, he'll come in. You invite him, behold, I knock, I stand at the door. Open the door, let me come in, and I and my Father will make our house with you. Invite him in. Now, look what happened. Now, it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. That's not the best part. Verse 31. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Hallelujah. 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 This is a historical, this is what's happening today, beloved. Okay, if you will constrain him, he will come in and he will invite you to sit down at his table and he will feed you. And it said when he broke the bread, Jesus said, I am the true bread that came down from heaven. When he broke that understanding open to them, when he gave them an understanding of what his life was like, of what it meant to be the Son of God, how he came to an understanding of his identity, when he took that and he broke it and he gave it to them, it says, then their eyes were open and they saw him. And then what happened after that? Immediately, he vanished from their sight. He vanished. Why did he vanish? I said, Lord, their eyes were open. They finally saw you, and you vanished from their sight. How so, Lord? What happened? Because when you understand, when God, through the Holy Spirit, breaks open the bread of life, when you truly understand it, the way you knew him before disappears. He will vanish from your life because he doesn't exist out there anymore. He doesn't exist there. He exists in. You want to see Jesus? He's invisible. He's invisible. You can see him in. That's where he lives. That's where he exists. And the outer man can't see that. Adam can't see that. That was taken from Adam. That was taken from us. Sin took that away from us. Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which is lost. What was lost? What was lost was our identity, our relationship with our Father. God said, let us make men in our image and let them have dominion. God created you in his image, and God is a spirit. You are a spiritual being. You are not a human being having a spiritual experience. You are a spirit being having a human experience. And your outer man is perishing. He's dead. He was nailed to the cross in Christ. And God, on the resurrection day, some 2,000 years ago, and we are in the third day from there, is raising up his Son again in the earth. He is bringing forth his Son again, but he's no longer just invested in one man. He is now a many-membered body. It's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that's being resurrected. When a woman gives birth, what comes out first? The head. He's the head. We're not trying to take his place. No one can take his place. He is the King of Kings. God has given him a name that is above every name. We're trying to take our place. We are the body of Christ. Just as Adam, the man, became the human race, the nation of Adam. Just as Israel, the man, became a nation, so also Christ, which was invested in Jesus, has now become a body. And it's a spiritual body. The world can't see the body of Christ. It's a spiritual thing. The carnal mind, the natural mind, cannot receive the things of God, nor can they understand Him. That's why the cross is foolishness to them. To us who are alive, it's life. But to those who are perishing, it's death. You don't need to taste death any longer. Let the Spirit of life have its way in you. And look what happened. I'm finishing up in verse 32. And they said to one another, while he talked with us on the road, and while he did not our hearts burn within us, while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us. How are you going to find out about these things, friends? It's not in some man's book. It's not in some New Age movement or in some mystical, magical experience. It's in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will open the Scriptures to you and give you that understanding so that you might see the risen body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So they rose up that very hour. There's the principle of resurrection. They rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened to them on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. And I'm closing with this. You've heard a lot today, and the Holy Spirit will never overwhelm you. But salvation is a progressive experience. To live is to grow, and to grow is to change. And when I was a child, I thought as a child, and I ate as a child. But now I'm a grown man, and I need strong meat. My body needs strong meat in order to grow. And there are people here that are at that place. Some people still need milk, and that's fine. Desire the sincere milk of the Word, because that's what babes need. But if you've been sitting here and inertia has set in, it's time for you to move on. It's time for you to commit yourself. If any man would come after me, let him take up his cross. Deny himself. Your old man is dead. And as I said, the Holy Spirit would invite you this morning. Would you please let Christ grow in you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Was that okay this morning? Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father.